The Bible says, "Enter ye at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." We need to be very careful about those that look like Christians, those that look like godly folks, and they're no doubt inwardly ravening wolves. I said this morning. My daughter, I've got a little 4-year-old, her name's Colby. Colby, often she will climb up in the bed before we go to bed, and she'll get up there between me and my wife, and she'll nestle up there real close to me. And this has been going on for quite some time, and she'll lay her face right on my face, and she'll say, "Daddy, show me some pictures of some animals." So I'll get my iPad out, and we'll lay there, and this has been going on for a long time. And she says, I'll say, "Well, what do you want to see tonight, honey?" And she'll say, "Show me a picture of a giraffe." So I'll go over there. We looked at giraffes, all kind of funny giraffes, and she starts counting the giraffes, you know. Then she'll say, "Daddy, show me a picture of a horse." And we love horses, and so we'll look at all kinds of different horses. She'll say, "Daddy, show me a picture of a cheetah." We'll look at a cheetah. Then we picture Tom Brady comes up. No, I'm joking. And I am a football fanatic, by the way. Sorry, cheetah, whatever you want to call it. Anyway, I'm sorry. But no, a picture of a cheetah will come up. And I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, by the way, so we can't like that. Go Steelers, right? And all God's people said, amen. Amen. I knew I liked y'all, some of y'all. And anyway, and so no, a cheetah or a leopard or a panther or whatever will come up, and we look at those things. But her favorite animal to look at is the wolf. Now they're beautiful, they really are, and we'll look at them. And there's one picture of this wolf that my little 4-year-old is fascinated with, and I hate to say this, but it has a deer leg in its mouth. And she's like, "Daddy, show me that picture of that wolf with that deer leg hanging out." And I'm like, "That's my girl, amen." And so she'll get that. And that's what the Bible calls a ravening or ravening wolf. It is a wolf that they look beautiful on the outside, and they look friendly. A wolf, it looks like a dog half the time, bigger dog, you know. And I've seen some dogs that remind me of wolves, and they're beautiful creatures, but they will attack when they're in a pack. Often by themselves, they are okay. Maybe even wolves sometimes are very skittish, kind of like a coyote. You don't have much problem with them, but you put them in a pack, they get a little bit more bold, don't they? Well, that's exactly what a wolf is. A wolf is one that would prey on, and by the way, churches have wolves in them. I mean, we do. I'll be honest, we've got some that if I see a new convert around them, I'll say, No, that ain't good. You get away from that. No. Because they've already exposed themselves as a wolf. Now, I'm supposed to love them as a shepherd in a way, but then I'm watching them, because one day that cane or that shepherd's rod's going to come across the head one day. Amen. We're going to lay the smack down on some wolves around here. But I'm letting them size their prey up a little bit, because there's some. A man called me this week, and he said, "Preacher," he said, "one of your members cornered one of..." They're not members. And they said, "But preacher, one of your members said something out here in public negative about the church and about you." And it kind of hurt a little bit. And, you know, but listen, it didn't surprise me. It only revealed what I thought about them. Now, I still love them. I hope to God they get right with the Lord. But guess what they are? They're walking in here all smiling, and them fangs are showing. That's a wolf. Here's what I do as a pastor. I don't have to get up behind the pulpit and just call them out. I'd like to. But you know what I do? I pray for them, and then I try to protect the sheep away from them. And then one day, God's going to reveal it. Amen. Not everybody's going to like it. I don't want them to like me. I just want them to make much of Jesus. Amen. Make much of His church. Beware of wolves. That ain't what I'm preaching this morning, but I would like to. Lord wouldn't let me to. Verse number 16, if you would, Matthew chapter 7, look at verse 16. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Boy, do you ever know them by their fruits and who they hang around. Amen. Water seeks its level. Do men gather grapes or thorns or figs or thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Now, look, notice verse 21, one of my text verses. Notice, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, many, notice that, will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to preach a few minutes. I pray, God, that you'll bless the service, bless those that came. We are honored that they are here. I pray, God, that you'd help us. Help me as I preach. In Jesus' name, amen. Last few days, I could not get away from the fact that we had baby dedication. We work hard here at the church to get visitors to come to our church. We go out on Saturdays and we knock on doors and we invite people to church. And we try to, and you can see God's blessed the church. I praise the Lord for it. And I praise His name for what He's doing. We led a man to the Lord yesterday, outdoor knocking. And God's blessed the church and I praise His holy name for it. But at the same time, I was trying to think, Lord, I worked very hard to get people to come to church, and Lord, you're wanting me to preach a message on a day that we dedicate children that I don't really want to preach because that message often it offends people. And of course, today we can't offend nobody. We just ain't allowed to do that. So, Lord, I don't really want to offend anybody at church. I don't want to offend them when I preach this message. And the Lord reminded me that one day I will answer to Him for what I preach at this church. And it really doesn't matter what you think. I'm commanded to preach, so you're going to hear it. The question to you today is, why would you want to go to hell? I realize that we're here on baby dedication. The last thing that I ever dreamed of preaching on baby dedication is why in the world would you want to go to hell? But I couldn't get away from it. It weighed heavy on me. Because I know without a fact, there is somebody here today that is in need of salvation. No doubt in a room this size, I preached the same thing to the 8:30 service and of course a little smaller crowd, but the same message with the same passion. I don't want anybody to go to hell from the church pew. I mean, I understand if somebody never darkens the door of a church and they never hear the gospel, and though it breaks my heart, I would halfway understand why somebody would end up in hell that maybe never heard, or maybe they just never thought it was important to go to church or never thought it was important to hear the gospel. I understand that, but at the same time, those that would come to church and carry a Bible with them and sing in the choir or sing a special or take up the offering or hold an office in the church. What about them? The Bible says, I want you to notice our text again. Look at verse number 21, and I'm not going to be long, but I'm going to be very point and direct. I want you to notice verse 21. The Bible says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. I want you to notice, number one, the sure reality of hell. Notice that it is a reality because hell is a documented place, just like Simpsonville, South Carolina, just like Fountain Inn, South Carolina, just like the state of South Carolina. It is documented. It is a fact that it does exist. It's been documented by our Savior. He in His own words, these are the words of Christ, He in His own words referred to a place called hell. It's documented by our Savior. You know, I could understand someone saying, preacher, why would you preach on hell? Jesus never preached on hell, but if that's the case, if Jesus never preached on hell, then I could understand. They might would have an argument saying, Jesus never mentioned hell, so why are you mentioning hell? But He actually mentions hell twice as much as He mentions heaven. So maybe we as preachers should mention hell twice as much as we mention heaven. Just maybe. Jesus did. So it's documented by our Savior. I'll get to that in just a minute. It's documented by the Scriptures. The Scripture says there's a place called hell. Now, I was on my study computer last night pulling up different verses and different things, and I have a little app, a little search engine, that if I type in a certain word in the Bible, it'll pull up all these different references, but then on the other side, it'll show me different versions of the Bible that has that same, so I can compare what they say, and not that I use those, but it just shows me, that's the way it's set up in the system. I noticed that the word hell is taken out many times in those other Bibles. So what they've done is, these translators of these other Bibles, they say, that word's a little too harsh, so let me take that out and put something else in. But we can't do that, can we? No, because what saith the Lord, that's what we ought to believe. That old King James Bible. It says the word hell, and that's what we ought to believe. It's documented by our Savior. It's documented by the Scriptures. It's also documented by a sinner himself. If you would turn over to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, I want you to read the testimony of a man who gives us an account. Luke chapter 16 and verse number 19. Luke chapter 16 and verse number 19. Again, the Bible says there was a certain man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest the good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, thou art tormented. Beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren that may testify unto them, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. You know, I read these verses and I cannot help but think that this man had everything that he ever wanted on this side of heaven. He was a rich man, clothed in purple, had all the things, and that poor man, Lazarus, would lay by the gate, and he was full of sores and malnourished, and he was weak, and he didn't have any food. He only wanted the crumbs off of the master's table. He only wanted crumbs, and that rich man would look at him and maybe just scoff a little bit at that poor man. But then it roles reversed when both died and Lazarus ends up in paradise and the rich man ends up in hell. And that rich man looks up and he says, hey, Abraham, hey, can you do something for me? Can you send somebody to dip their finger in water and cool my tongue? I mean, you think about this, not much water when this thing's full, but just the very bottom of this has got some water in it. Folks, that would be priceless in hell right now. You won't find that He was just wanting a little dip. Brother Chad just wanting a little dip off the finger there, just to cool his tongue. You say, preacher, that I don't know if I believe everything in that Bible. You can sit there and you can scour and scoff and fold your arm and do this, but I'm going to preach the book. I'm going to tell you right now, that man, hey, he knew the flames of hell. He knew what was going on. He knew that he was burning. And by the way, Abraham said, hey, there is a great gulf fixed. I can't get to you. You can't get out. You're there forever. And the man says, will you at least go tell my five brethren how awful this place is? Please tell them. He all of a sudden became a soul winner. For those of you that don't think it's important anymore, one glimpse of hell, all of a sudden it comes on your mind a little bit that people are going there. It's a documented fact. It's a documented place. It's documented by the Savior. It's documented by the Scriptures. It's documented by a sinner. Hey, hell is not only a documented place, but it's a dreadful place. Dreadful. I don't want nobody to go there. And by the way, neither do you. That's why you shouldn't tell nobody to go there. Hell ain't a cuss word. Shouldn't be. Shouldn't be going around saying it. Hey, you shouldn't be going around using it as a vulgar word. It's a biblical word that has a way stronger meaning than a curse word. You shouldn't be saying that word like it's a flippant word, like it doesn't matter. Hey, there's people right now beneath my feet in the eternal flames of hell as we're having church this morning. It's a dreadful place. Dreadful. I don't want nobody to go there. And neither should you. It's not only a dreadful place, it's a destined place. It's where people have an end. It's a lasting place. It's a disturbing place. You ever seen something disturbing that left a mark on you? I was a youth pastor for 14 years in North Carolina before I came here. I worked with young people. I'll never forget the phone call that I got from the fire chief there in our town. He called my house one night. He couldn't get a hold of my dad, who was the pastor, and he called me and he said, Steve, he said, I need you to get down to this address as soon as you can. One of your teenagers has been hit by a car. And I said, oh no. He said, I can't tell you the name right now. You just have to come. He gave me the address, and it wasn't just a few minutes from the house. And got in my car and I called my dad. I said, Dad, I ain't going to be at the soul winning meeting tonight. I got to drive and there's been a tragedy. He said, well, son, just go ahead and deal with that. And so I drove to this man's house, this boy's house, 18 years old, and when I pulled up inside, it was on a big 601 South, a highway there, and there was a white sheet draped over a young man still laying on the yellow line. He was checking his mail, and a young girl from the high school was texting, and she came across, she wasn't paying attention, he was checking the mail, and she just took him out and killed him right there on the side of the road. His body was still laying there, that old white sheet had been covered in blood, and I walk up to that trailer, and that mom and dad sitting in that trailer. Boy, they were broken, and that mama was screaming. I'll never forget, they were trying to calm her down. Even the chaplain there at the fire department was trying to calm her down. And I walked in there, and I didn't know what to do, just a young preacher. And I just had my Bible and read some Bible verses and prayed. And I tried to comfort what I could, but I could not. That girl that hit him with the car, she's over there crying, and her parents are trying to console her. And she's saying, it's my fault. It's my fault. I've done killed somebody. Oh, God. Hey, it was, listen, let me tell you right now, I can give you the smells that I was smelling that night. The tire rubber that had screeched on the road was still smelling out there. The car that hit him was still over there in the ditch with the lights on. Folks, it was very fresh in my imagination. It left an impact on my mind that I will never forget. I will never forget the views that I saw that night as I walked this close between here and that piano. I walked this close by a dead body that had not even been moved because he died on sudden impact. It left a memory. It was a disturbing view. But friend, there will be nothing as disturbing as the views that will be in hell. Nothing more disturbing. But see, here's the problem today. The problem is we've been so desensitized all them horror movies that you watch and all them gory. You know, these children are raised watching stuff. And so when you preach a message on hell, it don't affect nobody anymore. Because everybody's like, yeah, it ain't a big deal. I've seen worse than that on television. Can I remind you, this ain't TV. This ain't Hollywood. Hey, this ain't the Passion of the Christ. Hey, this ain't something that Mel Gibson drew up. Hey, this is something that Jesus Christ prepared for the devil and his demons. This is an awful place. Hey, that those that reject Christ, hey, they go and they burn forever. It's a disturbing place. But it's also a damnable place. It's a place that those that reject Christ will go. It's those that have never heard the gospel. It's those that have rejected Christ, or those that maybe heard it at a time but turned away. It's a damnable place. It's those that have went there, and it's an awful place. So it's a disturbing place, a destined place, a dreadful place, and a damnable place. Number two, we see not only the sure reality of hell, it does exist. Despite what anybody else says. I witnessed to a man yesterday. He was sitting on his porch, and he said, "Preacher, I'm glad you came by." I said, "Well, that's what we do on Saturday morning." He said, "I believe in heaven." But he said, "I believe we're living in hell." And I said, "Sir, let me stop you right there. You ain't seen nothing yet. This ain't hell." It is some for some people. Sometimes they go through some rough things. There's no doubt some of you sitting in here today, you've experienced some terrible things, but nothing like this. Oh no, there's a hell. It's documented. Then we see not only the sure reality of hell, we see the sad recipients in hell. The recipients in hell, they're filled with opposite people. It's filled with opposite people in hell. It's filled with offensive people in hell. Hey, this place in hell, it's filled with objective people. Hey, but number four, it's filled with odd people. Odd. You say, "Preacher, odd?" Well, you know, there's some we could understand. The opposite of Christianity, those that are offensive. We understand there's some people that they've been offensive on this earth and they say some pretty vulgar things. Oh, I understand why they'd go to hell. That's what a lot of people think. Oh yeah, that's an offensive person. That's an opposite person. That's an objective person. But hey, how about them odd people that's in hell? What do you mean by odd, preacher? Odd due to who they used to be. What do you mean odd by who they used to be? I'm talking about church members. Odd by who they used to be. Preachers. Bible college students. Preaching last year, Bob Jones student came. Preaching on a Sunday night, he walked the aisle and he said, "Preacher, I've been in Bob Jones. Freshman, I was raised in a good church. I'm called to preach and I've never been saved." Just a form of godliness. Odd. Due to who they used to be. Hey, how about this? Odd due to where they used to go. Oh, preacher, maybe you're talking about the bar and the strip club and the honky-tonk and going over here to this. And I'm talking about all of them. But yeah, sure, that's what you're talking about. Oh, no, that ain't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about odd to where they used to go. They used to go to church. See, can I make a statement to y'all? And I think I'm pretty accurate on this. Most people in hell thought they were going to heaven. Now think about that for a minute. Most people, Brother Will, that's fallen right now in the charred walls of the damned, Brother John, thought, "I've done good enough to get to heaven, Brother Chad." Y'all ever thought about that? Why would somebody want to go to hell? It's quiet. I'm asking you. You say, "Well, I just don't think you ought to be preaching that way." Well, you're probably who I'm going in after. Oh, yes. Hey, I'm burdened for you. I've not wanted to preach this. I was trying to avoid it. I'm with you. I don't understand it either. Hey, I'm there. I don't understand why a preacher, he must be crazy to bring a bunch of babies up here and pray for them and then preach the devil out of us about hell. I don't understand it either, friend. Other than God laid it on my heart. And somebody in here is needing it. Or at least warned about it. Odd. Odd due to who they used to be. Odd due to where they used to go. Odd due to what they used to profess. You know what the Bible says? Look back with me in Matthew chapter 7. And I'm almost done for those of you that's having a hard time. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 21. The Bible says, "Not everyone that saith unto me," notice what it says, "Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Notice verse 22, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name?" Now, hold on a second. So they're going to be standing before the Lord, and he's going to say, "Your name's not in the Lamb's Book of Life." And they're going to say, "But Lord, have we not went to church every Sunday that we could? Have we not raised our family to read the Bible? Hey, did we not drive a church bus? Did we not sing in the specials? Preacher, did we not lead a ministry? Preacher, God, did we not preach messages? Did we not deacon in a church?" He said, "Many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils?" I got a question for you this morning. How many of you has cast out a devil? That's what I thought, because I ain't either. I don't want to. I remember they called the church one time, this woman and this man, they were shacking up, and they were living in a trailer park down the road, and we were trying to... That boy said he got saved. And so we were trying to help them. They called the church and they said, "Preacher, we got some stuff going on that we can't explain. We need y'all to come down here. We got the devil in our house." That's exactly what they said. I said, "Dad, somebody needs y'all." Exactly what I did. "Dad, somebody called me. It's urgent." So me and my dad went down there. He said, "You're going with me." So we go in this house. Hey, the filthiest place I've ever seen in my life. Filthy. And my dad looked at that woman and said, "Ma'am, it's too dirty for the devil to live here." Did he not say that? He said, "I know the devil ain't here because it's too nasty." That woman just looked at him and blinked. I'm telling you right now, it was the filthiest place ever. In my life, I've never seen anything more filthy. I mean, it was nasty. And we walked in there, the stench was awful. She said, "We're seeing stuff." She said, "The other night we were sitting here on the couch and a vase flew across the room and smashed into the wall." Dad said, "Well, that sounds like the devil." He said, "And I'll tell you," he said, and that boy said, "Yeah," and I went in there to check on them. They had a little baby in there, and I was thinking, dear God, they had a baby in that filth. It was awful. And he said, "That baby, when we walked in there, it distorted its face and made it look like," he said, "we've seen," I was thinking in my life, "these people on drugs." So my dad looked at him, you ought to know my dad. He said, "Son, sit down right there." That boy sat down. He said, "You looking at pornography?" Just like that. And that boy said, "No." And that woman said, "You better tell him the truth. Yes, you are." He said, "Okay, preacher, I have." He said, "That's why them devils are in here." He said, "What kind of music you listen to?" "I listen to that heavy metal music. That's what I'm talking about." Son, about three or four questions, that old boy knew why the devil had showed up. I mean, filthy, friend. I'm talking wicked as hell. I'm talking about literally it was awful there in that room. And I was thinking you could feel something not right at that house. And I was, you know, you say, preacher, are you talking about that? I'm talking about odd due to the fact that they used to profess. That young man said, I do know Jesus as my personal Savior. There's going to be many in that day say, Lord, I know who you are. But they never believed on him. Odd due to where they... Listen to this. Odd due to why they are in hell. Why are they in hell? Only one thing sends a man to hell. It ain't that drinking and that smoking dope and that bunch of wife swapping and fornication and all that mess that goes... That ain't what sends a man to hell. Hey, what sends a man to hell is unbelief. The only sin we must repent of. Repent of the unbelief. We can't confess all of our sins in order to get... That's impossible. We're all sinners. We're all messed up. But we must confess, hey, Lord, I repent of that unbelief. Oh, yeah. The only sin that will send a man to hell. Listen, friend, if you're in here today, you've never asked Jesus Christ to save you. You say, preacher, everything you've preached, I line up exactly with it. I mean, I believe it. I believe that book. I believe what you're saying. I believe it all. But have you ever believed on the name that's above every name? There's a lot of people that agree with me today. They would agree. They'd say, oh, yeah, that preacher right there. Now, that reminds me of something out of the 1950s. Because that's when they used to preach on hell. See, I got accused by that same wolf. I got accused of trying to turn the church into a contemporary church. Friend, do I remind you of a contemporary preacher? Brother Roy, do I remind you of a contemporary preacher? Far from it. Contemporary preacher. Oh yeah, he's taking the church contemporary. Dear Lord, you can say anything. Don't say that. I mean, that is offensive. Brother Chad, that offended me. And the way I preach, and somebody would say, I'd like to know a contemporary preacher that preaches like this. Now, they may be. And I'd go shake his hand and say, praise the Lord for you. Praise the Lord for you. I don't care what you call it. We need to preach like this because there's people dying and going to hell. And let me just tell you right now, if you've never believed on that name, Jesus is coming back very soon. I'm telling you what this hurricane did. It blew a bunch of people back into church. I mean, I had people sitting beside me in Woodruff McDonald's and where I go up there and get coffee in the morning until hunting season came in. And I was drinking some coffee, and one of them boys looked at me and said, hey, you a preacher? I said, I sure am. He said, can you pray for me? I'm worried about this hurricane. I said, all the way up here in Woodruff? He said, yeah. I said, you ever been saved? I've been saved. I said, then you don't need to worry. Yeah, but they say it's going to be bad. Oh, yeah, but it ain't going to be as bad as what I'm telling right now. It ain't going to be as bad as what it would be if you were lost. You think Jesus is trying to tell us something? He's been trying to tell you something. Well, all this stuff, them earthquakes and all them hurricanes and all that stuff. Preacher, you think God's trying to tell us something? God has always been trying to tell you something. You say, what's he trying to tell? That he loves you and that he's not willing that you should perish. Amen. Isn't that good? The hurricane was telling y'all something. And then lastly, it's not only filled with odd people, it's only filled with objective people and offensive people and opposite people. Hey, but it's filled with ordinary people. Like you. Like me. Farmers. Hunters. Tobacco growers. Coal miners, people that pay their bills on time, hard workers, I mean people that put food on their table. I'm not talking about all the others that go out here and commit crimes and do things and break the law. I'm talking about people that put food on the table and they provide for their families and the ordinary people. I'm talking about people that, they're just good people. Overlooked people. They're going to be in hell. Overlooked people, people that never got witnessed to. Then lastly, can I say, not only these sad recipients in hell, not only these sure reality in hell, but lastly, how about the strange reasons for hell? Got three things. Some despise salvation, Brother Tony. They despise it. I was witnessing to a man out here on the parking lot in front of Wilson's thrift store. Wilson's Five Dimes, whatever it's called. And I said, I got to talk to this guy. And I thought he was going to get saved. I did. The guy looks at me and says, Jesus Christ is a blankety blank blank. I'm talking about cussed him, the worst of it. Cussed Jesus Christ and then called him a liar. I was so grieved, Brother Chad, when that man did that, I didn't know what to say. Brother Chris, it broke my heart that a man would say that about my Savior. I thought, man, well, I mean, it kind of grieved the Spirit, then it made me angry. And I thought, man, just read this tract. I'll pray for you. I mean, he despised salvation. Despised the church. I told him I was a pastor, and you could just tell he didn't want nothing to do with it. There's going to be some of them in hell that despise salvation. There's going to be some of them in hell that some strange reasons for hell. They despise salvation. Hey, how about this one? They delay salvation. Delay it. Brother Jacob, you can come up here to the altar, up here to the piano. They delay salvation. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, the devil, if he can't get you to deny Christ and get you to deny the Bible and get you to... What he will do is whisper in your ear and say, hey, won't you just get saved at another time? Just get saved at another time. You can get saved next Sunday when the preacher's a little nicer. You can get saved... Hey, listen. You can get saved when there's not that big of a crowd. Just don't get saved right now. That's what the demons will say right now. Them devils of hell, they'll say, everything that preacher is preaching is true. But just don't get saved today. Delay it. Isn't God merciful that He would even allow you, if you're in here today and you're lost, that He would even allow you to have another breath to come to church? When all of us ought to be in hell with our back broke, on our way to hell, none of us deserve heaven but Jesus Christ. Hey, He went to the cross. He set His face like a flint toward Calvary. He went to the cross and He willingly died for you and me. Hey, all of us ought to be in hell but God. Some despise salvation. Some delay it. I look down here and I see Tom and Jeremy Arnold. Me and Brother Tom was on our way to get that red van we call Clifford. Clifford the red van. Completely red van out here. Me and Brother Tom at church called and said, we'll stay at that van. And we went up to Bristol, Virginia. And we met that morning. We had a great time. And we're on our way up there driving. And Brother Tom said, preacher, God's been answering prayer. He prays for me. And I said, but Brother Tom, tell me about it. And he said, preacher, you're not going to believe it if I tell you. He said, I can't tell you right now. God did something, and I got to make sure that... So another day went by or two, and Brother Tom said, preacher, you're not going to believe what happened. And I said, Tom, tell me about it. He said, preacher, he said, me and Jeremy's been married a long time. He said, I've been praying for 9 years that my wife gets saved. 9 years. I'm talking about Jeremy darkens the door of this church every time the doors are open. But the husband knew something wasn't right. Every time he'd probably bring up something spiritual, it just didn't seem like those that got excited. I've been there. You're on a different page with somebody. You talk about the Bible and they just kind of change the subject. Jeremy one night started talking to Tom, and she said, Tom, I'm tired of wondering. I'm tired of fighting. I'm tired of debating. I'm tired of all this. She said, I'm ready to get saved right now. And Jeremy bowed her head right there and got saved. She came in and told my wife. My wife came back there and she said, honey, I believe Jeremy is a different person. She came to my office and she was just talking about. It's just, she said, I just didn't know what. The, I mean, it was wonderful. Tom said, Preacher, my wife ain't been the same until she gave her life to the Lord. Kind of like what my wife did. We were married for a few years. I came in from a revival one night. My wife was not feeling well. I walked in. She's in the bed. It was late. I said, honey, you ain't going to believe what happened to church tonight. I said, we had a service. She said, really? I said, yeah. She said, what happened? And I said, well, there's a couple people got saved. We baptized a couple people. She said, oh, that's great. Well, I went in there and sat down on the couch. I heard somebody sniffling. I walked back in the room. The lights are out. And I said, honey, you all right? She said, no. I said, what's wrong with you? I'm okay. I said, all right. And I walked back out and sat back on the couch. And all of a sudden, I looked at the door and there she's standing just like this. I said, honey, what's wrong? She said, I ain't been saved. Never have been saved. I said, honey, hold on a second. You went to Christian college. We've been married now for a couple years and got children. Hold on a second. She said, honey, I'm telling you right now, I ain't never been born again. She knelt down right beside that couch and I led her to Christ. That's been 13 or 12 years ago. I mean, folks, can I tell you right now, it's made available. Why are you delaying it? This would be the worst place in the world to go to hell from. I'm telling you, why in the world would anybody want to go to hell? Why? And then lastly, some decline salvation. That's the saddest thing. Some debate it, some delay it, some decline it. But don't decline it today. Don't decline it today. If God is speaking to you today, we've had several here lately raise their hand, they're not sure they're saved, and they walk out lost. We had a lady last week raise her hand, Miss Tree back there, and she raised her hand, she came forward and got saved. Don't delay it. Don't decline it. Don't get embarrassed and say, what's everybody going to think about me? They're going to rejoice with you. They're going to shout the victory with you. They're going to say, praise the Lord that someone's been birthed into the family of God. Hey, thank God. I don't care who you are or what title you serve or how long you've taught a class. That matters not to me today. What matters is, have you been saved by the grace of God? And let me say this. If you're nervous this morning and saying, I'm just trying to think in my mind, when did I get saved? I'd get it settled today. Because someone that's saved knows they're saved. They're not going on what mama said or daddy said or preacher said or three ancestors said ago. They're saying, I know the spot. I don't know the date. I don't know the day, the time. I don't know any of that. I just know the spot where I knelt down and got saved. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads this morning. Be honest.